I really liked her, especially the fact that she looked and reminded me of Sigourney Weaver. I was like, she's going to defend us against the aliens.
Come on, Ripley.
That is awesome.
Dude. I want her to, like,
love it.
When, like, other house reps were, like, coming for Delco, she would just, like, step in and be like, get away from her, you bitch.
Thank you once again for joining us on the Delco Young Democast. My name is Mike DeEva. It is awesome to talk to you guys again. Joining me here in the podcast oubliette, we have Pasquale Cipollone.
As usual, having a glass of wine.
As you do. And joining us by phone somewhere in New Jersey currently, I think, Amanda Hammack.
Yeah, I think it's New Jersey. I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of New Jersey license plates, so we should be all right.
Yeah, the borders get kind of fuzzy up there in that little triangle up top. But
yeah.
Can't quite tell if it's New York State or New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
I was going to say, in South New York.
Hey, I'm walking here. Exactly. But yeah, so Mandy, you are on your way. You've just left one awesome thing, and you're headed to another awesome thing.
I am. So I just left the Women's Campaign School at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut.
Woo!
Where I've been for, what, 6 days?
Too long.
I think, yeah. Too I came long. Up on Sunday. And I'm headed towards Harrisburg for state committee. So I was joking before I left. I went, this is what democracy looks like. 20 hours total, sleep through 6 days, bags under the eyes, and I'm just keeping it like... been coffee and wine all week, pretty much.
I mean, that's really pretty much the same as any other time. But
yeah.
Not
exactly.
A difference.
But yeah, was it, how did it compare to your expectations?
Put that all kind of in perspective is really difficult because what I expected it to be was not what it was in all sorts of awesome ways. I went in going like, you know, there's going to be stuff that I learn and, you know, what's this new great information and that. I just really thought it was just going to be like a lot of information that would help me, you know, in campaigns and running them or, you know, field or whatever different, you know, aspect of a campaign that it was. What I ended up realizing is, and I'm sure that's by design, it's much more empowering, you know, for the individual. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, being in a room full of, you know, there were 80 women.
Nice.
So there were 80, yeah, there were 80 of us from, so not only from around the country, but from around the world.
Oh, wow. I thought it was just U.S.
Right. No, so we had someone from France. We had someone from Kenya.
Oh, cool.
There was a woman from Bosnia.
Oh, wow.
And there were a couple, right, there were a couple other ones that were interdispersed. So, of course, you know, it's cool when you're like, wow, you're from California or Kentucky or whatever. But then to have that international aspect to it was super cool. And, again, it put a lot of things into perspective. I had a conversation with the woman from Kenya last night, and I said, you know, it's amazing. I get mad because... you know, I can't get voters off the couch, and I don't stop and think, and she kind of finished the sentence for me. She went, you know, voters in my country have to, you know, worry about getting shot. So, you know, put into that kind of perspective of, you know, just how, you know, important elections are, but how dangerous even, you know, like, just that difference, alone, you know, that we aren't reminded of quite often.
Yeah.
So, right? Wow, where did... So my big thing, and I was live feeding this earlier on Facebook, one of my big moments was when... So we do things nonpartisan or bipartisan, whichever you want to consider it, right? So my big fear was I was going to get stuck in this case study with, like, so there's 12 women per group. I was going to be like, you know, 11 Republicans and me, which, right?
You would still win, to be fair.
I would still probably do fairly well.
I like your odds.
Right? So I was like, oh, no. But so we did have a young woman from Missouri, and she was, in fact, the only Republican, I think, in our group, at least the only one that was self-admitted, because it was pretty evident that the rest of us were Democrats. But what I found was, and I even had this conversation with her, I said, you know, I was kind of ashamed. I came in going like, Republican, you know, still kind of holding on to that anger and unwillingness to talk to the other side. And she really kind of, just in having to, like, work with her and, you know, that we had to, you know, pretty much be together for, you know, 5 days, really changed my mind about being able to reach across, you know, the aisles. And I don't know if it's because of why we were there. You know, I think, you know, one of the big things that they say when you're there is, you know, take a look around, look at everyone, and understand none of us are normal. And we say that all the time, right?
Some variation of that, yeah.
Right, because our perception of what's going on is not the same as the proverbial average voter.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if that made the difference in that she was probably a lot easier to talk to than the average. I'm laughing because now the if you can't get this edited out, now the audience is going to know how to get to Harrisburg from New Haven, Connecticut. Really easy. And unfortunately, I like both of the hands on the wheel and can't turn the damn sound off for that. But we have 107 miles to Harrisburg once I get on here, so we won't have to hear this again.
So used to that.
So anyway, I don't know what had something to do with it. You know, the fact of, you know, she was there because she was willing to be in that position, whereas, you know, is the average, you know, Republican willing to have or willing to sit with a Democrat and listen? And what it made it even more kind of surreal was our case study. We got the Republican. We were doing a Minnesota Congressional Minnesota 2. Mm-hmm. So Angie Craig versus Jason Lewis. And, you know, I don't know if that, you know, or sorry, she had to come across, you know, those lines and work with, you know, all of us, you know, which was interesting, you know, and she was uncomfortable at first, but, you know, then she kind of, you know, got on and was like, wow, you know, and she admitted, she's like, you're not so bad. And I'm like, no, we're not all trying to. And, you know,
yeah, she showed her your forehead. It's 2 6s and a 4. It's
yeah, you know, we're not all. I hate to say it, we're not all baby killers. You know, like every worst, you know, case scenario.
But how do you stay young?
Without killing babies, how do you?
From Congressional District 2, Angie, you know, Craig, based in the anyway.
Sorry, Pasquale's pouring his wine into the microphone.
Is it wine or never mind? So anyway, they do a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different classes that kind of go across the scope of things, you know, field and, you know, everything that a campaign goes through. The class is more validated. Most of the information that I had already kind of acquired from, you know, hands-on with campaign. One of the cool things, they, during the social media, which, you know, of course, I'm geeking out over, for Facebook ads, you can now take a universe from Van and upload it to Facebook for targeting for ads. Right?
Dude.
Like, that is insane and a game changer beyond game changer.
Yeah, for any listeners that don't know what Van is, it's basically the software that we use to figure out, like, what people's voter registration is, where they live, how to get in touch with them, and how often they've voted. So to be able to target, like, whoever you want, like, Democrats living in this zip code that have voted in at least however many of the past elections, that's fucking awesome.
Right, and depending on how good you are with them, you can get super, super specific.
Yeah.
So to have that availability for Facebook ads, I mean, that's like taking over, you know, a huge chunk of the media market, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think you could, well, you can with bandwidth, like mailers, right? That's how, you know, super specific we get with mailers, you know, that we can target, you know, in that regard. So now you can do that, you know, with Facebook. And that could be a video ad. That could be, so that takes almost like the place of TV ads and making them super specific to individuals, you know, and I'm just blown away. I was like, whoa, we just, you know, we totally, and they're cheap. Like, they are dirt cheap to advertise on Facebook. So that was my huge takeaway, where I was just like, oh my gosh, geekdom. And actually, on the other end, really kind of fearful, because, you know, in a world where we're not sure what the hell is real and fake at this point, you know, what's to stop, you know, ads from either side, maybe, that, you know, kind of go off on that, you know, border of fake news, not fake news, you know.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Nice. I'm into that.
Pretty cool.
I love, like, how I can tell how, like, enthusiastic and how, like, you sound like you've been shot out of a cannon right now, and it's amazing.
Well, so anyway, it was funny because they warn you that they're kind of like, you know, you're coming in and you're gonna think you know where you're gonna be and you're gonna do it yourself, and they say by Wednesday you will be an entirely different person, at least in things like confidence, and, you know, maybe you get a more narrow idea of, you know, what you want to do. And they gear it towards not only campaigns, but, you know, candidates running as well, which is really cool, because there was a mix of, you know, people who were running or wanted to run and those that were interested in campaigns themselves. Nice. So it was really cool, you know. And then you get to hear all sorts of, you know, interesting horror stories from candidates, or not necessarily horror stories. I laughed because they were going around the room and candidates were discussing, you know, the races that they were running for, and to hear the cost in, like, Midwest states and even in Kentucky to run, like, certain campaigns on, like,
$12,000,
wow. Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm running for this, and it's like $10,000, and I'm like, oh, you know, like, I don't even know what do you do with a $10,000 campaign? Like, I don't even know, like, that doesn't even buy the mailers out here. Like, what do we do with that?
Oh, it buys one. Really, it buys one.
Yeah, that buys one round of mailers. And then that buys, like, dinner for your entire family after they knock on doors for 4 months straight.
Exactly. One meal.
Very true. Very true. Man. But, it will forever be something that I would totally tell any woman that is wanting to run. Actually, any woman, period, but those that want to run, or, you know, those that want to match campaigns, or even just work in campaigns, you know, it's a crash course for sure. So I can't imagine having been any of the, well, no, I can't imagine, because here's the big funny story. You break up into different kind of, you know, areas when working these case studies. Yeah. And I had the genius idea of going, I have done pretty much everything except fundraising.
Oh,
because
boy.
In my head, I'm thinking, it's math and you can throw parties and, like, what could go wrong? Yeah.
Famous last words, homie.
I was 3 days of anxiety, literally of anxiety with wine, of being so overwhelmed with fundraising, and it was probably more that I was making it more complicated than it actually might have been for me. But at the same time, I appreciated most of the other individuals were doing things that I could help them with. So again, that's not validation. You know, in like field organizing and, you know, calculating how many voters to door, like, I can hear Pasquale's eyes rolling in his head, you know, calculating door knocks, you know.
What's your win number?
What's your win number?
I'm going to go purge my goddamn self.
But I left because they would do the math and they would go like, that's it? Like, that's all that's going to turn out with this equation? And I'm like, no, it's far worse than that. It was like, you know.
I would have just responded, my win number is 50 plus one, and then walk away.
Drop the mic.
They were like 13,000 doors, and once you factor in this, it brings it down to 600, but it's really only going to be like 64 doors that actually vote. And I'm like, no, it's going to be way less than that. It might be like half. Welcome to, like, you know, the drama of campaigns and, you know, no matter how much we use these equations sometimes, you know, the numbers are not always your best friend to look at. But it's something that, you know, it was necessary. I am energized despite the fact of, you know, having 20 hours and driving to Harrisburg. I'm excited to be able to bring a lot of this information back for all of us. You know,
yeah.
I said that recently to Joy, you know, about bringing it back and being able to just kind of, you know, share it, because that's what we need to be doing. You know,
absolutely.
Not everyone can attend these, right? You know,
definitely. No, and that's,
so it was a good time.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome. I am so glad that it was so beneficial for you, and that it lived up to the expectations, even if it wasn't exactly how you thought it was going to go. And I like the fact that you're talking about how a lot of it was kind of uncomfortable, because usually I find when you're uncomfortable is when you're learning the most. So that's actually, I'm going to relish in your discomfort for a little bit there.
And am I hearing the beginnings of a Delaware County Young Democrats campaign candidate training program?
We could.
I think,
and
we all have enough experience.
Keep that under wraps.
Oh no.
I agree, but here's why. I picked, so they give you surveys, and I kind of felt like a jerk the first time I did it, but they give you surveys after each one of the classes, and they ask you to rate it, and then give them, you know, constructive criticism. Well, you bet your ass that I was constructive criticized in good ways. Like, at one point, they were discussing GOTV, and they didn't mention, like, they would say volunteers at the polls. And I understand not everyone probably calls their volunteers at the polls like we do poll greeters.
Yeah.
But, you know, they could have explained it and worded it in a way that would have made more sense and kind of given. But I, and again, I understand the time constraints, you know, again, crash course.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think we could take this kind of model and really work on something like that, you know, whether it's candidate or even other campaign staff. You know, there are so many of us,
absolutely,
so many of us that are willing and wanting to do this and either can't afford it or just don't know where or who to talk to.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that second point is really the main thing, that, like, people don't know where to find this information. So, you know, if that can be a group that they already know and trust and are a part of, like the Young Dems, you know, that's kind of the best possible outcome.
And there'd be two of us, since Gina Amoroso, and Colleen Kennedy, you know, we've all done it, so, you know,
that's,
we can be like, hey,
formidable fucking trio right there, man.
I didn't go to P-Triple-C or anything, so fuck my drag, right?
Hey, now, you will be too busy, mister. You got all those doors to knock. You got that win number.
Get out of here. Go to state committee.
You're breaking out. You're going over a mountain,
man. You're going over a mountain all of a sudden again.
What's that? Wallet.
All right.
Sorry.
So let's jump from something super empowering to something super obnoxious. Dale and fucking Leach.
And this is why we do the super empowering stuff. Okay?
Exactly.
That's all we gotta say.
Exactly.
Hold on. Are we talking about Dale and Leach? Hold on. Let me just. There's more if you want some.
I think you might need it.
I'm going to need this entire bottle.
Yeah, we're going to pour one out on the curb here for you, Amanda. But
thank you. For all the homies.
Yeah, but yeah, Dalen Leach's birthday fundraiser is a thing. And the list of people who are apparently on the host committee is a huge friggin' bummer, because there are a lot of people on there that not only do we kind of like trust and hold up as like important members of the Democratic Party, but also people that, you know, a lot of us have personal relationships with, and that frankly we expect better from.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
I'm going to state committee, and I guarantee you there's going to be a few of them up there. Do you want me to ask them? Because I at this point, really would like to know.
I mean, I am not going to tell you what to do. There are a lot of people. I will say there was an article in the Inquirer, where basically, none of them wanted to, go on record. Yeah, just because they're willing to put their name on a pro-leech invitation doesn't mean they have the guts to talk about why they're pro-leech. Street Bradford Briggs, Groen, and the labor groups either declined or did not respond to requests to comment. Leech turned down the opportunity as well. Greg Vitale was one of the few elected officials who explained why he's still backing Leech.
I didn't read the article. Can you
quote, he's a great spokesman for the progressive cause, and people who called for his immediate resignation may have been neglecting things like due process, presumption of innocence, and proportionality of crime to punishment. Let me, if you want to respond to that, Amanda, let me, because I got some thoughts on that one in particular.
No, you start, because I'm still like agape and fucking just. Yeah, you go.
All of these people that talk about due process when politicians get caught doing something scummy.
Are the politicians that do something scummy?
Yeah. Number one, like, you're in a fucking glass house. Number two, keep in mind that due process is for criminal proceedings. Just because the entire point of this is that if you have been given power and you are going to, like, do terrible things with it, I don't necessarily think we should lock you up and throw away the key just because of an abuse of power, but I don't want you to have that power anymore. And if it comes out that you did do something illegal, which it looks like maybe Dalen did, but innocent till proven guilty, like, I get that. That's in a court of law. We are not sitting in a fucking court of law right now. Get the fuck out of my legislature.
I agree. I don't even know if I could add anything to that without, you know, kind of raging and foul-mouthing it, because, honestly,
Lord knows we don't want to cuss on this.
I don't fucking get it. Like, I for them to be, you know, giving any sort of excuse, period, is outstandingly fucking insane. Okay, I don't understand where these lines are drawn. I didn't realize we have a fucking congressional district of lines that outline when you're a fucking douchebag and when you're not, and when it's acceptable and when it's not. Like, I didn't realize we had that. Is that gerrymandered? I'm not sure.
I mean,
right?
My issue with the entire situation is not at all the host committee, to be completely honest, because to be thrown on there, you could do anything. You could donate food, times, whatever. And like we said, we have people on the host committee that we are all close with. We don't maybe agree with this one particular issue. What my biggest concern is the politicians that are silent about this. Because over the past few years, silence is, you're being complicit. Like,
yeah,
you're not helping. And the only one that I could kind of slightly even understand was Senator Williams saying that as his role as what, the head of the
he's in Senate leadership for the Democrats.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I don't want to say that's kind of in the, you know, laws of the party, but I mean, at the same time, I can see where you would be, your hand could be forced to be like, I'm going to be on it. I don't know if I'm going to show up. I might not even speak, whatever. But like, for the other politicians that have been openly just complicit is extremely upsetting, because when it was happening while I was in Harrisburg, like, it was very clear that the Capitol was, avoiding him. And we've had Representative Lian and Governor Wolf call on him to resign, and then he will tweet things like Wrecking Ball of Hate, who we all personally here know who that's referencing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's fucking short of fucking... Well, okay, you know what? We don't even know if he's fucking short of Micarelli, right? Like, nobody knows exactly the extent of, realistically, you know, the things that, you know, could have, might have, haven't been proven in a court of law through what was it? That fucking Vitale decided that, you know, whatever. It's alarming that, I don't know. I would look at this and go, we have had leaders step down, rightfully so, for less.
Absolutely.
We have.
And I just don't understand why he can't.
We have butchered the lieutenant governor as an example over something that was essentially a very personal issue that was resolved and was made blown out of proportion in public to the point where he lost his reelection. Like, the Capitol was actively working against him, and then we see a very serious situation, and all it is a you need to step down, and then silence.
Well, and let me put this, so that list, you know, those that are backing him, you know what? I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be the rebel that I am.
Ooh.
You know what? I am angry at this. Rebel, rebel, right? We can sing it. No, we're not singing in the car. I am mad at them. I am mad at them.
Yeah.
Can I get unmad at them? I don't know. You know, because I really think that I look at that and go, where is the value system, you know, in this, you know? And even more is that it's like an okay, you know? I mean, like, I'm really kind of, when I saw that article, was it today that it got posted?
I believe so, yeah.
When I saw that, I couldn't even read it because I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I just don't get how this is still a thing. You know, like, when is enough in this, right? Like, when is this no longer a thing that we have to be disappointed in people for, you know, effectively promoting fuckheads?
Yeah. And every second he remains seated in the Pennsylvania Senate is a day where, like, our argument for why somebody like Nick Micarelli or somebody like Daryl Metcalf or any of the other fuckwits that are currently in our state government, you know, our argument for why they should step down is diminished because, oh, well, what's wrong? Dalen Leach is still here, despite all of his bad behavior. And, you know, the allegations against him are, you know, far worse than some other people, which, you know.
So, you know what? I'm not even, you know, caught up in following it. The allegations, were they just dropped? Were they ever pursued? Like, I mean,
I don't know, you know, where anything ever happened. I know he's certainly not cooperating with any investigations.
Imagine that. That doesn't scream fucking guilt.
Yeah. And it's like, if it's just a matter
sorry for being that person.
Even if it's just the appearance, like, you know, even if let's just say, I know this isn't true, but let's just say he hasn't done anything improper, even, let alone illegal. I'm going to leave the question of legality aside for now, but let's assume that he didn't do anything improper. Like, the fact that there's like these allegations used to end careers as little as like 5 years ago. You know, because people had the good sense to fucking step away when it became a distraction and when it became toxic to the rest of the party.
When we keep the bottom of the barrel in the damn mix, we are doing a disservice to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Is it going to be difficult if he fucking leaves and there's a special or whatever the fucking logistics? Sure, but you know what? I will take difficult every fucking time for scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Like, absolutely.
It's enough. And who the hell knows? There could be, you know, a fantastic person out there for that position. But, you know,
Oh, we already have our ideas of who we would love to run for SD17.
Yes. You know what?
No, 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 no. And I don't believe she's a fan of the show, and I know she has so much more going on. But if there was ever an endorsement committee where it mattered, even though that's not our area, I would love for Mary Jo Daly to run for Leech's seat.
I love Mary Jo Daly.
I would do a split on a stage with my wig straight off.
Is Mary Jo Daly? Love her. Is Mary Jo Daly a fucking scumbag?
No.
That's literally the only thing I know about her, and I will vote for her.
No, 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 no. Mary Jo Daly is like, she's
Mary
unbelievable.
Jo
she's
fucking scumbags. Okay?
The worst thing about Mary Jo Daly winning that election would be that Emerge loses like one of the most amazing women that run it. And yeah. I mean, there's a lot of amazing women that run it, but I mean, no one wants to sacrifice any of them, even though for more power.
But no, Mary Jo Daly would. Like, she would have, like, just elbow-dropping moments all day long, getting rid of scumbags, you know, in every fucking corner of everywhere, which is why she would be brilliant for that, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
And that's
scumbag.
And that's a response to not only the right, but also the far left, who say that, you know, oh, well, you know, you're more than happy to come down on scumbos when they're in the other party, but you're not going to clean your own house. Like,
right.
and that's again, like, my dude, you're doing this. You're making our jobs all fucking harder. Like, stop. Just fucking go away. Go fall in a hole somewhere. I don't give a fuck. Like, get out of the Senate. Go about your fucking life. If you committed a crime, you'll get arrested. But, like, if you didn't commit a crime, just get the fuck out of the Senate and just be done.
Welcome to Pennsylvania! We made it back in!
Hey! Back on home turf. I feel like that was timed so perfectly.
Yeah, no. Welcome back to the Keystone.
That is kind of amazing, right? So, yeah, no, I mean, again, I'm really disappointed in the list, and I have no problem telling the people that I know a lot of those people personally.
Exactly.
And I have no problems being like, guys, you know what? I don't, you know, walk around, you know, holding parties for mass murdering fuckheads. Why are you holding them for someone who has, you know, even remotely been whispered about if you can't 100% show me the proof that, you know, he never has been? So, whatever. He can join the ranks of fuck Micarelli, fuck Metcalf. Who the hell else have I honored that one with?
I think the first one that we ever did, I think, was Al Franken. So...
Well,
this is a long road.
Yeah. Fuck them all. I'm so tired of it. And coming from, you know, Yale and coming from the Women's Campaign School and seeing 80 women in a room who understand that not only do they have to work harder, that they have to do everything harder because of their gender, to have someone like him sitting there and being smug and refusing and having people that, you know, I do like, you know, kind of supporting him in that way. Fuck all that. I am so tired. That's that shot out of the cannon, right? I'm so tired of this at this point. You know, I have no problem asking every single person now that I meet why. And you know, that'll be the next podcast of all the responses of why.
My personal thing is I have been wrong before. And this segues into a better conversation of the idea of any old blue just kind of won't do. And I know that's a cliche, but like, just because he's progressive doesn't mean he's the best.
Yeah, we can find a progressive like, who's not a fucking yeah. sex monster.
And like, yeah, and everyone, I mean, most of those people are going to have their individual reasons that we're not going to understand or agree with, because we've talked about this with people on that list before. And like I said, the biggest issue I have is with the politicians. Because if anybody knows this closer than the people on that host committee, it's the people that have to work with him every single day. When we read that article about Nick Micarelli and how lawmakers got, what was it, bodyguards and, yeah. and shit like that. Like, and
yeah.
that was just like a fun little thing to do Monday through Wednesday in Harrisburg. Like, the constituents don't know that. So when people are holding fundraisers for Micarelli thinking like, oh, everything's wonderful, this guy's great. And then it comes out and they can't believe it. Like, a lot of his supporters' ideas are going to be vastly different than those who actually have experienced it in the Capitol. And like with my experience, you know, in the Capitol, a lot of the times I got to do whatever I want because I was a guy and nothing was really off limits. But if any of the women in any of the offices were going to go somewhere, especially if they were an intern, there was always another male intern with them. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I did not pick that up when I was there was something that makes me upset. And that kind of just, again, we need to do better as a party. Yeah. And if the party can't really lay the hammer down on this, then it's the parties that it's the party's fault.
And in your defense, there's a big difference between a situation like yours where you didn't know and a situation like Dalen Leach where we fucking know.
Well, yeah.
Like there's a wide sort of gulf between those two things.
Well, the fantastic end to this can be, I just left 80 women who are more than fucking determined to make this no longer something that we deal with.
Booyah.
That's right.
Get it. Get it.
Right? Oh, come on. Definitely.
Do you want to do a shameless plug?
Do we want to do a shameless plug? Shameless of course. Plug. We're so shameless here.
Always.
For Penn's
always.
Woods
no,
Winery.
There is no shame. Always plug.
Penn's Woods has gotten me through so many of these podcasts. I feel like every other week it's about sexual assault, so naturally I've had to have several drinks in order to handle this. So they're in Eddystone. They're pretty great. So check Penn's Woods Winery out.
A winery in Eddystone. I'm about it.
And it's amazing.
I've been slamming Delco Lager from 2SP down in Aston.
Well, I mean, you know. When you're tired
you
of the Delco Lager,
there's a winery
Penn's Woods.
In Eddystone?
Yeah, yep. Penn's Woods. It's so good.
Yeah, we're drinking it now, and it's pretty fucking good.
And this is like the second time I've brought a bottle from them here.
Yeah, and $1 from the proceeds of this bottle. $1 from the proceeds of this bottle will be donated to furthering wine and grape research in Pennsylvania. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Let's see if we can get some sponsors. Penn's Woods, we'll do a podcast on your winery.
Hold on. All right, so.
Oh, my God.
That would be fantastic. Invite everyone.
Some of our listeners are not 21 yet.
Those who are 21 will sell bracelets.
The only thing that we are currently missing, or at least you guys are currently missing since you're drinking, are the Girl Scout cookies, I'm just saying.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I'm not doing that again.
You're not doing that again until next year.
Yeah, true.
All right, so I wanted to kind of lift your spirits, Amanda, from the last show that we did when we were talking about statistics and, you know, voter turnout and things like that, and the numbers were not great. I found a new poll because I really like polls and telling you guys about numbers and shit. Franklin and Marshall College did a poll over the first week of June here. I think it was the 4th through the 10th of Pennsylvania voters. 55% of the state's registered voters are very interested in the 2018 midterm elections. That includes 62% of Democrats, 50% of Republicans, and 41% of independents saying they are very interested in voting in the 2018 midterms. So that's really good. You know,
that makes me feel so much better than the last.
Yeah, I mean, the turnout in primary elections is always super low, and that's something that definitely needs to be worked on, but the actual election, because we're going to have, especially since we're going to have a Senate candidate on the ballot, we're going to have a governor on the ballot, and we're going to have all kinds of other stuff on the ballot, a lot of people are very interested in this, and more Democrats than Republicans, which is a positive thing.
Which I super, 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 super hope is true, because otherwise I'm just going to cry in a corner with the bottle of wine from Eddie. No,
Pasquale, has this been... I'm sorry, Amanda, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was waiting to see if he was under the table, you know, crying with the bottle.
No, he's good.
So, looking at, you know, it's interesting, because the case study that we were doing, you know, is live, kind of, you know, because that is an actual race that's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at, or those numbers from that correlate a lot with the numbers that we were running for the case study. So, I'm not that surprised by them. In fact, you know, it's kind of like, yay, because, you know, the data is matching, you know, from where you're looking at and what we were looking at.
Yeah.
My concern always goes back to, and, you know, Pasquale understands it full-heartedly. I know, Mike, you understand it, that when we hear those, I guess I always just kind of set myself up for, you know, being disheartened, because you hear like 65%, and then it's like 45, and you're like, but when in fact 45 was probably up, you know, 15% from the previous year.
Yeah, just because the number's not, the number is better, but that doesn't necessarily mean good.
Right. I would really, I do think with what, you know, I don't know, I think every single day, I think if we could look at, it would be really interesting, if we could look at those numbers, like, to the minuscule, like, every single day, do they go up? Because, like, every single day, something's happening that I think people are taking notice of and getting pissed off about, you know? It's like, you know, waking up and going, like, what did Trump do today?
How do you choose just one?
Right. And so I'm super excited that, you know, we have a better poll to look at, better numbers to look at. But
Pasquale, is this something that you've been seeing in your work yet? Has this been reflected in, like, you know, people actually being enthusiastic when you call them or knock on their door?
So Delaware County is a very interesting place. let me just start with that sentence. Amanda laughs. The biggest question I have gotten is, why so early? And the answer to that is because we still have a lot of ground to make up. We have a lot
of... Which is the diplomatic version of, because you people don't get out and fucking vote.
That is right? Why I'm working for the state party.
and
you are not.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, but yeah, like there's a lot of time that needs to go into getting these people out. And if we knock doors in June of people that are like, oh, 100%, I'm out here, I'm going to vote for Democrats. It's not that we don't have to knock on them again, but we're getting a better sense of where the support base is going to be. And with these commit to vote cards that I pressure everybody to sign, these are all methods that will genuinely increase voter turnout. It might feel like you're pulling teeth to get it done right now in the middle of the summer when people are down the shore. And I mean, look, I am completely fine if the Pennsylvania State Party would like for me to open office in Wildwood for the summer, because I will be down.
3/4 of those people are from Pennsylvania anyway.
Well, I mean, most of them, yeah, exactly. Right? Like, let me canvass the boardwalk.
You know what? If you get an office in Wildwood, I'm coming to work for you.
Sea salt fries. Sea salt vinegar fries all day, every day.
Oh, my God. No, the spicy curly fries with the cilantro mayo. Never mind. Yeah. I'm just making myself hungry.
Anyway.
No, to be completely honest, one of the big things I'm running across is that there's just so many people that feel like political season is only 3 months out of the year. And it's like the 3 months, it's like the months leading into the primary and the months leading into the general.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that whatever month and a half. And it's like every 6 months there's something going on. So it doesn't stop. And even I, in the very beginning, was like, oh, June, it's way too early. But going to doors and talking to people about the candidates and saying, like, hey, this is why we're out. And then at the very end, asking for something from them. Like, hey, I know you care, obviously. If you're going to sit here and talk to me for 5 minutes, this is a very weird and strange thing to do, is to knock doors to talk about politics. But if you're going to sit there and talk to me, help us. Like be a part of it, because you feel so much better no matter the outcome when you've done something. The reason I can even sleep at night, even when my preferred candidates lose, is because I know that I did something and I tried.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so many people when you answer the door. I mean, as far as the percentage, though, that we were talking about, I am not coming across anything so far that is alarming. The thing I have learned, though, is that phone banking is such a preferred thing to do here, and people don't understand really what it means. Like, I don't know. Apparently phone banking is like very ingrained in the culture in Delco, and I didn't want to believe it until I realized that when I call someone and I'm like, hey, would you like to come knock doors? Ooh, no, I don't really have time. Oh, would you like to make phone calls for 4.5 hours? Oh, yeah, cool, got it. I'm like, you'd really not want to knock 10 doors for an hour?
Yeah, no, they are phone banking beasts in friggin' Delco.
But phone banking does not turn into direct voter contact, though, and that's what sucks.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, coming back again from, you know, Yale, we had this conversation where and I think you and I have always agreed with this, is that, you know, not only are you dealing with huge numbers of bad numbers, actual bad phone numbers that makes this almost virtually useless, most people don't answer their phone anymore. So phone banking has become so archaic.
Yeah, if I see a number I don't recognize, like, I'm not answering it in any way, shape, or form.
So I'm not going to say where it was.
And we do this, like, right? Like, exactly. We call people. We phone bank and we don't answer people.
I'm not going to say where this was because I agree to an NDA. but no, an image was shared with me and it was, luckily it was a meme and it was like effective ways to communicate with voters. Texting was number one. And then at 100 was phone calls. After 98 was carrier pigeon and 99 was smoke signals. And like, it's so true because people nowadays screen their calls, or there's the amount of times they've gotten sent to voicemail, which means they have some sort of app or call forwarding thing. I can send a text message and people are so much more willing to talk when you're disarmed. If it's a text, like you're not speaking to anyone directly. You can answer this on your own time. And it's interesting to see how voter outreach is evolving. And, you know, I mean, I'm assuming in about, like, a decade, we'll just get, like, an image beam to our skulls.
I think, you know, again, this keeps going back to kind of the idea that, like, come up with the times, you know?
Exactly.
We don't necessarily have to. Now, I apologize because this might actually start making noise. Stop for some gas.
Woo!
But, no, you know, these are the conversations that we had up there that, you know, phone banking just doesn't do it for, you know, contact anymore. Like, it's just not. Oh, we have a gas station that doesn't have anyone at it. Cool.
Welcome to the Midwest.
Know,
free gas.
Of PA.
Free gas. So I think the technology in that needs to. I know we got off subject, but, you know, the But I wonder if that would draw up. Do they tell you where they got the polling numbers for those? Does that tell you, like, how they got the data?
Franklin and Marshall College, I think, does phone surveys, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Which, how funny, right?
Phone surveys.
So, no, I just, you know, I am constantly just kind of in awe that we have to hold tight to such archaic things like, you know, phone banking. When the text message, I mean, people will read a text message at the very least.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Like, ooh, what's this number? I'm going to at least read it and see what it says. You at least know that you're getting that message. It's like a voicemail, per se, you know?
We all know the pain of getting the red 4:28 p.m. and then no response. But, it's very much.
Yeah, I agree. And now I'm laughing because this person's probably wondering what the hell I'm doing because I'm going around in a circle to get my gas.
You're podcasting, damn it.
I know. Podcast. Do you want to listen to my podcast?
Yes.
Switching you over to my actual phone. So, hello, we are somewhere at a Turkey Hill. And parked the wrong side of my gas.
You didn't even stop at a Sheetz.
Yeah, no fried pickles.
Come on. I'm
just
having one of those days. yay for good numbers. That's what I have to say.
Yes,
and I really do think that the turnout will be, you know, higher for the general than it was.
It always is higher in a general election than a primary, but that kind of drives the point home, and that's all I ever wanted to do with any of these numbers is drive the point home that, like, we need to get out the vote, and we need to get it out early, and we need to get it out really strong.
Right. Well, and so that goes back to the conversation that I was having up there, and that we always have. What's the number one way we do that? It's fucking knocking.
Yeah, Yeah, no, that's the best way to do it.
You're never going to get any of us to agree that it's something other than, you know, the boots on the ground.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. So now it's time for everyone's least favorite part of natural existence.
No.
What did millennials kill this week?
No, no, no. I was having such a good time. I'm coming down from the wine.
Sprung it on you. So
spiraling.
So this week, apparently, millennials and their cohorts in Generation Z are killing subcompact cars. As the owner of a tiny, tiny Toyota Yaris, this offends me personally. So yeah, there was an article in CarBuzz.com, of all places, where it's talking about automakers such as Ford are acknowledging the fact that traditional cars, including four-door sedans, are dying. The automobile itself is safe, but sedans of all sizes are losing sales to crossover SUVs. Basically, we want bigger cars, because we apparently didn't learn this lesson in, like, the year 2000.
I'm laughing because at current, you know, gas station, right? And
yeah.
I have considered an SUV. I'm looking at an SUV. There's another SUV.
Yeah, like you don't have a gigantic like Escalade, but yeah, I think that would fit into like that crossover midsize SUV.
It's a Chevy Equinox.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not huge, but So wait, we're killing compact cars. That's what we're doing?
Yeah, because everybody wants cars like you have, or like, you know, larger.
Well,
like
those
weird... I
didn't realize compact. Do you think compact cars were ever a thing though? Like,
yeah, like
I don't
is
know
the
if
smart car
took
industry
off.
Crashing?
Apparently,
right?
But I mean, like my car is a tiny little compact. My wife and I literally have the same car, but one model year different. But yeah, like, I have always rather had small cars, and this is coming from somebody that used to drive a minivan. Like, I have always rather had small cars.
Yeah, but you can't knock minivans until you've driven a minivan at 90 miles an hour through the desert in New Mexico, because that is a field trip and a half.
All right, Walter fucking White,
did the minivan
stop.
Survive?
My name's Squalter White.
The podcast is over.
I love it.
No more episodes ever again.
There's a reason I know a lot about New Mexico, especially the suburbs of Albuquerque. The Berna. That one's
I'll
for Kristen.
You, I'll
She'll
tell
understand.
You one thing. As I'm fueling up this car, I am cringing at the fact that it would be amazing if it was less than the size it is, because I just spent $50. Filling it up.
Exactly.
So.
I spend half of what you do to fill up my car, and I get probably just as far. And like, I've never had problems. I helped friends move a couple weeks ago. Like, I don't understand the whole point. I guess the point is that car makers are kind of doubling down on larger vehicles, because my assumption, and that's all it is an assumption, is that since the current U.S. administration has decided to roll back fuel standards and not give a fuck about, you know, clean air or anything like that. You know, the car makers are seeing dollar signs on larger vehicles, which I don't fuck. I don't get the appeal. I don't know. I'm the asshole that used to leave nasty notes on like the windshields of like Hummers and shit.
So when they say that millennials are leaving for crossovers, I feel like that is, when I think of a crossover, I think of like the, not the Jeep Renegade. What Jeep is that? I think of 4-5 seat cars that aren't like, I have a Hyundai Sonata. Like, it's a car. I love it. But, like, that's not my ideal car. Like, yeah, if I could get a crossover, I would, because it's kind of that, like, you can have a family kind of thing. You know, because I'm planning for things that I can't have as a millennial. A family, a house, peace of mind, clean air, you know. But, I mean, you know, fuck me for killing the compact cars.
Yeah,
and I can't grasp where that's coming from, aside from, I mean...
Well, did they just assume? I think of that and I go, well, did you just assume that all you know, millennials were driving compact cars, and because they're not, like, they killed them? Like, it's just, it's a weird kind of...
The reasoning that's given in the article... is because consumers prefer the higher seating position, more interior space, more cargo space, and apparently they think that the exterior styling is cooler. Like,
I mean, this is all true for me.
I mean,
maybe
that's
I am the millennial.
You are. You are. No, no, no. Because, and here's the big plot twist, guys. It's not just millennials and Generation Z who are looking at this stuff. Because it's going to have like connectivity features and stuff like that. It's also their parents.
So it's not millennials.
No, it's everybody.
Wow, so they're mad at essentially, I guess they're not baby boomers, are they?
Ford has issued an interesting press release that breaks down some sales figures, and sure enough, young people want crossovers, and so do their parents and grandparents.
Baby,
you know what
you're
I will
in
take.
Shit, fucking it up now too.
You know what credit I will take is if they came out with an article that said millennials kill like the fossil fuel industry. That's an article.
I'm down for that.
Behind.
I'm down for that.
Give me my Tesla.
Apparently, we're keeping it going because we're buying big ass cars.
We're buying higher efficiency crossovers.
Well, see, that article, if you notice that article didn't seem to mention that part,
of course,
right?
No, they buried the lead on that one. Because,
you know,
when,
it's not just that they're getting better, you know, or they're hybrids, or, you know. Mm.
Because when consumers change, suddenly millennials are killing something.
Capitalism only works for like the select few people that benefit. Is what every millennials have killed article should just be renamed to "Capitalism did not work for this one particular billionaire, and here's why."
Yeah,
blames whole generation.
So that's where our heads are at today.
I'm so over.
Yeah, I mean, that one might have been like the most interesting one to hear that we've killed, you know, like that one, I can't, as well as driving crossovers.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with my tiny ass little car, and I'm going to, when I'm making fuck you money, I'm going to buy a Nissan Leaf.
Oh no. When I get like 30 grand just to have, because that's something that I also a fantasy, $30,000 and it's not a loan. What?
You're a millennial. We can't have those kinds of thoughts. Okay.
The only time I ever had $30,000 as a currency was on goddamn Neopets. And that's the last time I'll have $30,000 as a currency. I'll tell you that right now.
Neopets,
the last time I've seen 30,000 anything in a currency.
Jesus.
Great. I'm gonna be googling Neopets.
But when I do, I'm getting a Tesla. No, don't go on Neopets. It's a bunch of kids. It's no longer fun. And Nickelodeon bought it, and it's like totally not a thing anymore.
Damn kids.
Damn, whatever you are, Jen. Can I write an article about how whatever the generation now is has killed Neopets? You little bastard.
Can you turn it into a 1,000-word think piece?
Yeah. I'm going to slam poetry about children.
That'll be the next one. Millennials will have killed Neopets. That'll be tragic.
Mine have been starving for decades. My Neopets have had that sad face with the red starving button for decades.
I'm telling the rest of the vegetable people.
Shh, I'm vegan. Don't. The rest of your vegetable people.
All right. So before we land.
That's my favorite. I love it.
Before we bring this boat to rest on the bottom of
the
ocean.
Before we crash this plane.
Since self-care is important, let's talk about something that we've enjoyed this past week or so that has nothing to do with politics.
Amanda, since you're driving.
That's going to give me, like, I'm like, wait, it shouldn't involve politics? Where did I just come from?
It can involve the town where you were doing politics.
So, okay, we can work with that. Because I actually, so we did, the case studies today were, it would actually have been today. The case studies were done today, so some of us would kind of, like, you know, sneak out, per se, when the other groups were giving their presentations.
A, first of all, rude. B, continue.
I know. But your ass can only sit in those chairs for so long.
That's a fair point.
Oh wait. And you really have to go through my Facebook and see some of, like, the creepy-ass window panels. I don't know if you've seen them yet, of the pictures that I took of the Yale, like, friggin' windows, because they have some of the scariest friggin', like, montages going on of, like, creepy old white dudes. It's just, anyway, I was able to walk around New Haven today at the downtown campus, and it was really cool. Like, you know, it is the quintessential, you know, small New England town, and, you know, people are super friendly. There are almost no stop signs in that immediate downtown area because most of them are one ways, and legitimate, like, kind people will slow their cars down at crosswalks and not kill you.
I'm like,
I'm afraid to stick a toe out in the middle of the intersection because I'm just assuming everyone drives like they live in New York or Philly and they're just going to run you over.
Yeah, right.
But it was really kind of, it was nice. And to see, like, their shops, you know, are kind of a mix of, you know, cute, small, you know, personal New Haven-esque type shops, and then there's, you know, like they had a J. Crew downtown and an Urban Outfitters. So, like, it was kind of, you know, this mix of, like, wow, J. Crew, but then there was this amazing donut shop that had donuts like lemon meringue, and they would have, right, the inside would be like the lemon part, and the outside was a meringue top.
Ooh.
With the peaks and everything. There was a bacon maple donut. Like, it was just, and they had scones. So it was really just kind of nice to be able to, especially at the end of this, you know, crash course week, to be able to just kind of wander around and kind of take in, you know, small town America, so to speak. So that was awesome and cool.
Nice.
So, yay. And then, you know, drive to Harrisburg. So that, there's that.
It kind of sucked that I didn't get a chance to hang out with my wife on my birthday was this past week. But the day before my birthday, I got to see my little sister graduate from high school, which was fucking awesome. And I got to, you know, talk to my wife a lot, and I got to clean my house, and I got to, you know, just sit around and, like, you know, make food. So I nested super hard.
Living the dream.
And it was awesome. Yeah, it was pretty great.
That's awesome, though. That's awesome.
I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome, but it's not like wandering around a cool city doing cool shit.
True, but you got to do Italy.
Yeah,
that's fair. Remember when you got to the Italy one? I was like, I hate you.
Yeah, that's fair. So. I'm gonna never complain about anything again. Besquel, what you got?
I was just gonna say, where you at, P?
I'm telling Colleen Kennedy that I'm gonna try and be sober by 9 a.m. so I have three things, and the reason I say three things is because they're kind of small, so they have attributed to my mental health over the past few days, which I'm finding so difficult to maintain. One is a meme where it's Bernie Sanders, and it goes, the front 50% of all car passengers get 99% of all the air conditioning, and that has to stop. That one, I think, I cannot stop cracking up, and the person who posted this will totally know who they are if they listen to this, but I doubt it. The other one is my boyfriend, you all are familiar with, brought me back Oreos from Amsterdam.
Ooh.
And they have a ruined American Oreos for me forever because they use real fucking ingredients, and it is so nice. Frustrating. And I was like trying to read some of the Dutch and English in the back. And I was like,
wait a second.
I mean, it was both.
You
it was
eat
Dutch.
Them all?
I did eat them all. It was only a tiny sleeve. That's all he could get. And, like, I ate it, and I was like, oh, whatever. Like, these are pretty good, but, like, whatever. Like, I love Oreos. And then I had Oreos this morning, and it, like, I don't know how to explain the difference. I mean, Oreos are really great as they are, But like, imagine Oreos if like someone actually gave a shit when they made them. Like, like if there was like 30 Dutch people just mixing like a whole vat for one Oreo just for you, like
sealing each package with a kiss.
No, seriously, that's what it felt like. Like those six Oreos felt like six people who loved me that live in Amsterdam.
Have you? And I'm gonna let you get to your third thing in a second. But have you seen chocolate peanut butter pie Oreos?
No,
maybe the best special flavor.
Peanut butter pie Oreos?
They're the special flavor that's out right now. They might be the best special flavor they've ever made.
I'm going to Giant immediately.
Exactly.
And my third.
There's going to be a five-step store buy before I get to state committee.
It's going
to
be so good. And my third and final thing was Sense8 has released their series wrap-up finale, and I watched it, and it was 2 hours long. It was really good.
I haven't watched any of that show. Is it worth?
Yes. If you are into like super in-depth sci-fi, it is like really cool. It's just like a really great show, and it's like Netflix's token LGBTQ show, and you know, they released it for us for Pride. Like, it's the only thing that sucks about Pride is Trump's birthday, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. The only thing
we were here before he was.
The only thing that sucks about my birthday is Trump's birthday.
Oh no!
I think I think he's the day after, but it's still too close for comfort.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's too close. It's
yeah,
too close.
Exactly. But it's fine. He'll be dead far before I am.
He's
much older. He's much older.
Don't give yourself enough credit. I'm sure we could figure something out.
And that's going to do it for us here today. No, but seriously, thank you, Amanda, for calling us from the road and for using hands-free equipment to drive safely.
Of course. Seriously, I should be thanking you guys because this would have, I don't know if I would have been as awake and you know, moving forward as I have been, you know, sitting here talking to you guys. So thank you. I can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah, that Young Dems mixer is 9 to midnight tonight at the hotel. So
I know, that's what I'm trying to book it
yeah,
for, man.
Go hit
that
up.
I'm going to go see them all.
But yeah, so I want to thank the band Tin Mouth for letting us use their song Generation to Generation as our theme song. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Please come check us out next weekend, Sunday, June 24th, 2018. We are going to be at the Philly Podcast Festival. Our show is going to be 4 p.m. that day at Tattooed Mom, which is on South Street between 5th and 6th. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be an entire lineup of really awesome shows that day, so stick around for other shows, not just us. I had a chance to talk with a couple of the people who are doing other podcasts at the on that day, and they're awesome people. We had great conversations. We're going to be putting those up over the course of the next week or so, leading up to the podcast fest. But we would love to see you guys out there. All of them are free, so come hang out, you know, grab a couple drinks, grab some tater tots, and come watch some awesome podcasts.
The more you drink, the prettier and funnier I am, so please come out and tip your bartender.
Yes, tip the shit out of those bartenders. They're gonna be working their asses off. But yeah, that's all we got. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Take care.